بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. توسل. The Shara'i meaning of توسل is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using those words, actions or personalities which are accepted and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an intermediary or means for getting one's dua accepted by saying, O Allah, by the blessings of these people or these actions or these words, accept our dua. There are three wasilas, means, channels by means of which it is desirable to supplicate. Number one, Asma'ul Husna, to utilize the blessed names of Allah Ta'ala while making dua to draw His mercy. For example, O Most Merciful, or how we read the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names, may Allah, through the barakat and blessings of Your names, accept our dua. Good actions. To mention some righteous actions which one has carried out with the aim of drawing acceptance from Allah Ta'ala for one's du'as. Example, O Allah, through the blessings of this salah, of this tilawat, of this fast, etc., accept this dua of mine. And number three, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawassul by means of the creation is of three types. Number one, to supplicate to someone and seek his help and assistance, as was the practice of the polytheists, the mushrikeen. This is prohibited by ijma, the consensus. So you can't make dua to somebody and ask him to fulfill your needs. Number two, requesting the pious to make dua on one's behalf. Since this is not proven for the dead, this form is restricted to the living except for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. One can ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at his blessed grave to supplicate on behalf of him. One should not stand at the graves of others and ask them to make dua. So pious people who are living, you can ask them to make dua. Those who have passed away, since it has not been accepted, since it has not been established from the pious predecessors that they stood by the graves and asked anyone to make dua, which a person should abstain from this year. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, but because we do not know where the graves of the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam are, we should abstain from it. There's no yaqeen and conviction, but the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know where it is. We can stand and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua on our behalf. And number three, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the blessings of an accepted servant. This means to make dua to Allah ta'ala by the wasila, the means of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, all the awliya and the pious servants of Allah ta'ala. For example, O Allah, fulfill this work of mine by the wasila of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the tufail of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, by the barakat and blessings of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, by the hurmat of Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi. This action is permissible and in fact meritorious and better, since it is a means of for the acceptance of du'as. This is referred to as tawassul bizzat. So anyhow, these are the forms of tawassul in which a person makes du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 10th juz was recited, Surah Anfal. And we had discussed the Surah Anfal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Muslims, Allah granted them victory in the battle of Badr. Allah's help and assistance came to them. And in the Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, 6 times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different directives to the people of Iman, that when you meet the army, the kuffar and disbelievers, then do not turn your back against them, away from them. If you turn away from them in the battlefield, unless you are going to get more reinforcements, etc., then your person returns with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his final abode is Jahannam. One of the major sins is for a person to turn his back in the battlefield and to flee from the battlefield. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remain steadfast, do not turn your back away from them. Another command Allah gives, that Ati'u Allah wa Rasulahu, that obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not turn away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while you are listening. Do not be like those people who say, we hear, and they are not actually hearing. It's the worst kind of animals who are deaf and dumb, and who've got no aql and brains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the third one, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, accept the call of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when He call you towards lima yuhyikum, that which will give you life. What will give a person life? According to some ulama, it means jihad. Jihad will give the ummah life. And when they call you to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call you towards the day, a person must immediately accept the call. And know that Allah becomes a hail and a barrier between man and his heart. If man delays, sometimes Allah doesn't give a person the tawfiq and the ability. So therefore, when a person, the desire comes within a person to do a good action, immediately a person should try to do the good action. And another meaning is lima yuhikum to the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give true life to a person, spiritual life to a person. And a person must not delay, because here also Allah can become a barrier between him and the good actions. He may be deprived of tawfiq and ability. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً. Beware of a great fitna and trial, which will not only afflict the zalims and oppressors amongst you people, but it will afflict every single person. Some ulama say this means that when the ummah will leave out jihad as a whole, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send such conditions over them. Then we see throughout the world where the Muslims are battered and they are bruised and they are caused so much of harm, and there is no one to stand up and no one to help and assist them. When we have left our duty, which was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of jihad, then people will take advantage of the ummah. And according to some ulama, this means when the ummah will leave out amr al-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, then Allah will send such conditions upon the ummah, which will not only afflict the oppressors, but it will afflict all the people. When Allah Ta'ala comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you do not stop calling towards the righteous and preventing from evil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send such conditions upon you people. Then you people will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the du'as will not be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that another usul and principle, لَا تَخُونُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Do not make khiyanat. Khiyanat means to cause any treachery to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Break your promises with them. That also will cause great harm for a person on the battlefield in jihad. Intertaqullah, to have the quality of taqwa within a person. This is the first command. And then in the next para, in the next juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, especially when a person is standing on the battlefield, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً. When you have to meet the army, فَثْبُتُوا. Number one, remain steadfast on the battlefield. Make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance. What does the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? On the battlefield, when a person will make zikr, then a person will become strong spiritually. And a person will now be able to fight. Outwardly it seems, what does zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got to do with jihad in the battlefield? But here also Allah commands that remains, make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance. Because this will give a person spiritual strength. It will become easy for him now to face the enemy. That is why some ulama say that daily we are facing the enemies of shaitan, our nafs. So if on the battlefield against the kuffar, but the zikr of Allah ta'ala will help a person to remain steadfast. So to a greater extent, when a person is making zikr of Allah ta'ala daily, and he's functional with his zikr, he'll be able to face the enemies of shaitan and nafs. Many people, they say that, I'm very weak, I can't control my eyes, I can't control my gazes, I can't, I've got this weakness, I've got that weakness. And when you ask a person, are you making a zikr regularly? He say, no, I stop making zikr, I'm lazy to make my zikr. There is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will give a person the spiritual power. Now he'll be able to fight himself, fight all the evils around him. So even on the battlefield, Allah ta'ala has given the command. And obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the battlefield, do not fight amongst yourselves. Otherwise, you will become fatafshalu. You will become buzdil. You will become cowardly. And your strength and power will go away. And remain steadfast. Wasbiru. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who make sabr. And do not become like those people who came out of their houses with pride and arrogance and showing off to people and preventing the people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, but have the tawazu within a person, humility. I need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas and sincerity. And a person goes out in the battle of Allah in the battlefield, then see how Allah's help and assistance will come to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, he's speaking about the battle of Badr, where Allah's help and assistance came in amazing ways to the Muslims. They were small in number, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Allah wanted this battle to take place. So Allah ta'ala made the kuffar look, their numbers look very small in the eyes of the Muslims, so the Muslims will get more courage to go and fight them. And Allah Ta'ala made the Muslims' numbers also look very small in the sight of the kuffar. So the kuffar also said, oh, it's such a small number, we will destroy them. But Allah Ta'ala did this here, so that the battle will take place and the Muslims will eventually be successful. وَإِذَ زَيْهِنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَعَمَالُهُمْ. Remember the time when shaitan beautified the actions for the kuffar and disbelievers. And he said, the duke is so powerful, you got everything. لَا الْغَالِبَ لَكُمْ الْيَوْمُ. There is no one to overpower you people today. وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. I am your helper and assistant. But when the two armies came together, then shaitan was the first one to run away from there. He said, إِنِّي رَوْ مَا لَا تَرَوْنِ. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can see what you people cannot see. And then shaitan leaves a person in the lurch. And throughout one's life also it happens. The shaitan comes and beautifies actions for a person. And he shows the guna and sin and wrong things to be so beautiful to a person. You do this, you make so much of money. You do this, you'll get so much of success. You got this woman, you got so much of enjoyment. But when the time comes now when the person is fulfilling his desires or he's doing haram and now he's about to get caught, shaitan leaves the person now and a person caught in what and what problems in the dunya also, and in akhirat also. So a person must be very careful of the plot of shaitan. He does beautify things for a person, but in reality it's all deception behind that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the munafiqin and the hypocrites and those people in whose hearts was a sickness, he said, "Kharraha ulai deenum," these people's deen has made them into, placed them into deception. Such small numbers, they think they'll be able to overcome the big, huge superpowers and the people of Makkah, etc. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. You place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is most powerful and Allah has got full hikmat and wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance will come. And this throughout history has proven itself that we are, the small numbers they were, but they overcame huge, huge numbers with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's system is such, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُمُ خَيْرًا نِعْمَةً. When Allah Ta'ala bestows favors upon people, Allah will not change it until they change what is within themselves. When they will go towards evil, immorality, immodesty, all the great spiritual bounties, physical bounties which Allah has given to people, Allah eventually will take it away from the people. This is because of our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if a person makes shukr, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What will Allah do with you people and punish you people if you've got the quality of shukr and you've got iman within yourself? Allah wants to bestow even more and more favors upon you. So bring the quality of shukr into your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the battle of Badr, the Muslims were not prepared. They went out to get a caravan and suddenly the battle took place. But for future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ. He must prepare physically also, if the Muslims should prepare. مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ, the horses, and with the shoe shooting, the archery, etc. And when a person has got these physical weapons, تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ, you will create fear in the hearts of the enemies of Allah and your enemies, and many other people besides them which you do not know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Whatever money a person is spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare himself for jihad, he will be given a great reward for this year, and no oppression will be done to him. So this is also one thing, command of Allah ta'ala for a person to prepare. Obviously the greatest thing in the battlefield is spiritual power, Allah's help and assistance. But Allah ta'ala says, whatever level, the Muslims also must be ready, they must prepare themselves. Then the after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in jannahu al-islam, it doesn't mean the Muslims will be fighting all the time. But if the kuffar and the disbelievers also, they are inclined towards peace, they want to make a peace treaty and truce, فَجْنَحْنَا, and also have a peace treaty with them. But وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they want to deceive you thereafter, remember Allah, His assistance is with you people, and Allah is sufficient for you people. Allah's help and assistance will come to you if these people are trying to be treacherous. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the rule was, even Nabi Harid al Mu'minin al Qital, encourage the believers to fight. If there are 10 amongst you, 20 amongst you people, they will be able to overcome 200. If there's 100 amongst you people, you will be able to overcome 1,000. This was the strength of Sahaba's Iman, that 1 to 10. If there was 1 to 10, it was not permissible for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to turn their backs on the battlefield to go back to go and get help, assistance, etc. They had to fight their enemies until their death. But if there was more than 10 people to 1, then it was permissible for them to go back for reinforcements, to go back from the battlefield. But Allah Ta'ala says, today Allah has made it easy for you people. Allah knows you are weak. So Allah has made it such now for one Muslim, for two kuffar and disbelievers. If there are 100 of you, you'll be able to overcome 200. If there's 1,000 of you, you'll be able to overcome 2,000. Now it's not permissible. If it's double number, you cannot go back from the battlefield. The person will have to remain there. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and Allah is with those people who will make sabr, who will be steadfast. Allah's help and assistance will come to them. After the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the great virtue of hijrat and jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to those people in dunya also and in the akhirat. The next surah is called Surah At-Tawbah or Surah Al-Fadiha, or surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great virtue of tawbah, but it's also called Surah Al-Fadiha, where Allah ta'ala disgraces the munafiqin, the hypocrites. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were the true believers. Then there were the disbelievers, and then there was a third group called the hypocrites, and they caused great nuksan and harm to the Muslims. And throughout history also, it is this group of hypocrites who have caused the greatest harm to the Muslim Ummah. So much of Akabir has mentioned that the Shias, for example, the Munafiq hypocrites, outwardly they claim to be Muslims, but in their heart they've got so much of enmity of Islam, they always trying to cause harm to the Muslims. And whatever qualities of the hypocrites are mentioned in the Quran Sharif, you find it amongst the Shias to a very great extent. So they say that one quality of the hypocrisy is from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the surah is mentioned here, they did not make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they make jihad also, it is against the Sunnis, it is against the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, they will cause harm to them. Or if they go out in the battlefield, they will always cause harm in the battlefield also against the Muslim people, just like the Munafiq and the hypocrite. And throughout history we find that the greatest harm was caused by the hypocrites to the Muslim armies. Whenever the Muslims suffered huge losses in battle, normally it was always that the Shias helped and assisted the other groups, other Jamaat. And then because of this, they were able to attack the Muslims. So much so, even when in Baghdad, when the Tatars attacked Baghdad, there were some Muslim people who opened the doors for them, who were like some big ministers in the government, who encouraged the Shias to come and to attack. When the Kuffar came and they attacked, they killed all the Muslims, and their own helpers and assistants were the Shias. They were also massacred and they were killed. So anyhow, Allama Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, if you study history, you find throughout history, whenever there was the Shias when in power, how much of harm they caused to the Muslim Ummah. They always were there. And even if they were not in power, but they, from under, they caused a lot of great harm to the Muslim Ummah. So they are the munafiqs of this Ummah. The person has to be very, very careful of them. In the starting of the Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillah is not recited in the Surah, because Bismillah has got the quality of Allah's mercy and rahmat. But Allah Ta'ala's rahmat overcomes his anger. So only one surah in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Otherwise, the other 113 surahs show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great rahmat and mercy, but they show his hub fi Allah and bukhs fi Allah. Person has to have love for Allah's pleasure and hatred for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that bara'atu min Allah, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am free now from the pact which the mushrikeen had made. Give them some chance now, and because they caused a lot of great harm to the Muslims. They had broke their pact so many different times. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because you have done so much of wrong, now you people must leave Makkah Mukarramah, come out of the land, and Makkah Mukarramah will be Darul Islam, a place where there will only be Islam, the land of Hijaz. So anyhow, the mushrikeen were given a choice. They had to either accept Islam or they had to leave the land, Hijaz and Muqaddasa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned different rules here. But the other people also, where they had made pact for them till the end of their pact, then they were allowed to continue, and then they had to eventually leave the place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these mushrikeen, take them around, let them see the Islamic state also, so that they become inclined towards Iman and Islam, and they will also become Muslim people. So then if they are not prepared to accept, ablighhum amana, take them to their place, and to a place of safety, and then take them out of the Muslim land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Are you people making, feeding the hajis and building the Masjid al-Haram? Can they ever be equal to those who have got Iman in Allah and the Day of Qiyamah, and who make jihad in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They can never be equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who make hijrat and they make jihad in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their wealth and their lives, the rewards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very great, and they are the completely successful ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if your parents and your children and your brothers and your wives and your family members and the money which you are earning and the businesses which you are fearing, they will go down, and the houses which you love, they are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and jihad in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting in the part of Allah ta'ala, and some ulama say it means hijrat, making hijrat in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait until the command of Allah ta'ala will come, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. That is, a person can have love for all of these things, no problem. But the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and striving in the path of Allah must be greater than the love for all of these people here. Here, striving in the path of Allah ta'ala means the farz, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's compulsory, when Allah's command is there, a person has to, then these things cannot be a barrier for a person. But the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be much, much more greater than this here. So the Rakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, so it shows you can have 49% love for all of these things, but 51% love must be for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how will a person see that? Whenever there is muqabala, when there is a clash between the two. To, are we giving preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are we giving preference to any of these things, our businesses, our wealth, our homes, etc.? And we're giving preference to that, it shows our love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is less than 50%. It's a great danger for a person. So we have to make it more for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in jihad, it is not your big numbers which will help and assist a person. In the battle of Hunayn, the Muslims had a very huge numbers they came with. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help was taken away for a while from them because of this pride. Today we've got big numbers. We'll be able to defeat the enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, that the earth became tight upon you people despite it being so vast, and you people had to turn away. And when the person turned their attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help and assistance came. So whenever a person is doing any work, the minute our attention turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah's nusrat is taken away, Allah's help is taken away from a person, then a person will find himself going through loss, going through difficulty. But if our attention is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we've got lack of means, lack of numbers, lack of resources, but our ta'alluq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help and assistance is with those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about certain evil qualities of the Jews and the Christians. And إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَرُهْبَانِ, the many of the Christian, the priests and the monks, they are eating the wealth of people in the incorrect way and preventing the people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so even the zakat money they are taking and they are utilizing it. And those people who are keeping back gold and silver and not spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them glad tidings of a very severe punishment. On the day of Qiyamah, what punishment? They will be branded on the day of Qiyamah in the fire of Jahannam with this wealth on their foreheads, on their sides and on their back. Because when they were asked to give the zakat, then they made a frown on their foreheads and they turned on their sides and then eventually they turned back towards the people. So on these places, that person will be branded on the day of Qiyamah. هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, this is what you had stored for yourselves. Now taste the punishment of what? مَا كُنْتُمْ تَقْنِزُونَ, which you had kept. So therefore a person must be very careful regarding our zakat. Make sure we are taking it out correctly, working it out properly. As the ulama kiram, how should it be done? Our namaz is such an important for us. We all know the masail of namaz and we make an effort on salah. And alhamdulillah, even though we've got weakness in there, but generally by large people know. When it comes to zakat, since it's once a year, many people do not even know. Many people left in Ramadan, they give out the zakat. And that also not a proper hitab is given. Whereas we're supposed to know our exact date when zakat became farz upon us. All of there are many, many masail regarding zakat. So a person should really find out properly. There are many people who will give zakat. They give less. They just work out a certain amount and give it. But the zakat has to be worked out properly. And more than that amount should be given actually. So that the person is free from the responsibility of his zakat. And this is a great sign of Islam. Whatever Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, iqamat as-salah, Allah mentions giving of zakat also. So a person must, bodily ibadat also is for Allah. And our monetary ibadat is also for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain virtues of going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we are not there to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ نَسَرَهُ اللَّهُ, if you don't know, help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah helped him and assisted him. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a cave, how Allah's help and assistance came. So Allah's help is with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the people of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then eventually mentions about the zakat, who are the mustahikin, who are those worthy of getting zakat. In great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. The signs of the munafiq and hypocrites are, they are friends of one another. They command people towards evil and prevent from good. And وَيَقْبِذُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ, they do not spend their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah has forgotten them. And Allah ta'ala has promised these people Jahannam. On the other hand, the people of Iman, they are also friends of one another. And how are they friends? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, command one another towards righteousness, prevent them from evil. And they establish salah, they give zakat, they obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people who Allah's rahmat and mercy is upon them. And such people of Iman, Allah has promised them jannat, gardens flowing beneath their rivers. They will remain there forever and forever. And beautiful houses in the everlasting gardens of Jannat. And the greatest thing they will get is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ridwanu min Allah akbar. Zalika huwa al-fawzul azim. This is the greatest kamyabi and success for a person. On the other hand, you get certain people who they want, the only object of life is this dunya, that they want more and more. And they say, if Allah gives us, then we'll give charity, we'll be a very pious people. But when Allah Ta'ala grants them all the wealth, they become stingy with that wealth and they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the nifaq and hypocrisy in their heart. So therefore a person has to be very careful also in terms of making intentions. But when the wealth Allah gives to a person, then a person now he holds that wealth, he keeps it back. And sometimes there is goodness for a person when Allah Ta'ala doesn't grant to a person, because sometimes that wealth can be a means of fitna for a person, a trial for a person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ, the kuffar, they've got a lot of wealth, they've got children, but don't let it place you into a deception, or don't become surprised by it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish them a means of this in this worldly life, and in the year after they will be punished by it. Many times if a person's children and wealth is not utilized in the correct way, it's not earned in a halal way, then that money becomes an azab for a person, a punishment for a person. A person, children also, if they are not brought up in an Islamic way, given Islamic education, adab and etiquette, the children eventually later on become a curse for the parents. The parents actually curse the day they were born, and they actually make bad dua for their own children. So this wealth also of ours, how we are earning it, how we are spending that wealth, we utilize it in the correct way, then it will be a means of barakat and blessings for a person. I met one person, one accountant recently, he was explaining to me, he said that he's got many clients working for he works for, and some of them, mashallah, they ask how they earn their money also. They don't work with no insurance policies, nothing at all. You see, I started working with them about 15 years ago. The business was only like 15 million, the assets. You see, today, alhamdulillah, they are so particular about the zakat, paying in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stopped taking any new customers also. They say, no, Allah has given us enough, so they stop customers extra. They say, we haven't got time also to look after new customers. All the products they were selling many products, they came down to one product only. You see, alhamdulillah, for the past 15 years, their business has expanded now. Where there was 9 million or 15 million, now they're 150 million. It's the barakat of giving zakat, and they know no insurance policies they've got, nothing, no interest they've taken, anything from the bank. Allah has given them so much of barakat. You see how much of love they got amongst themselves, so much of muhabbat amongst them. They always, the brothers, mashwara amongst themselves, talking with themselves. And you see, I've seen other cases where people, wealthy, wealthy people, but the father is not prepared to speak to the son. The son can't speak to the father. They got so much of hatred. They got millions. You see, but all of that money, there's so much of bitterness amongst them. This is when there's no barakat and blessings in that wealth. You see, some people, he saw, they worked through the bank. And because of that, now the person started going down and down. He told the person, let's get out of the debt. Sell some of your properties and get out. The person never wanted to listen. Eventually, he listened. Once he sold the property, he came out of the bank. And today, he said, alhamdulillah, now the person is coming right. All his problems stopped. So really, when you work with interest, you work with insurance, all the haram things, when you're not giving out zakat, there's no barakat and blessings in that wealth. You might have lots, but there's no happiness in a person's life. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability also, especially regarding our monetary matters. You have to be very, very careful regarding these matters. وَأَخْلُوا دَعْوَانَا
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ نَحْمِدُهُ وَنُصَلِّ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ الْكَرِيمِ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عجز منكم عن الليل أن يكابده وبخل بالمال أن ينفقه وجبن عن العدو أن يجاهده فليكثر ذكر الله رواه الطبراني. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضی اللہ تعالی عنہما سے نقل کیا ہے, وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ارشاد ہے کہ جو تم میں سے عاجز ہو راتوں کو محنت کرنے سے اور بخل کی وجہ سے مال بھی خرچ نہ کیا جاتا ہو یعنی نفلی صدقات میں, اور بزدلی کی وجہ سے جہاد بھی شرکت نہ کر سکتا ہو, اس کو چاہیے کہ اللہ تعالی کا ذکر کثرت سے کیا کرے. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, whoever amongst you is too weak to bear the strain of keeping awake at night in worship, is too miserly to spend his wealth in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, and is too cowardly to take part in jihad, is advised to practice the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance. Once again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever amongst you is too weak to bear the strain of keeping awake at night in worship, is too miserly to spend his wealth in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, and is too cowardly to take part in jihad, is advised to practice the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance.